Well, I say good morning to each one. It's good to be here this morning. It's very encouraging. As always, your mind thinks of a lot of things. I was blessed this morning. We come in Jesus' name, as we heard a lot about Jesus Christ, Jesus' precious and holy name. Because there is no other name whereby man can be made right with God. And I thank him for that. I was encouraged with the children's lesson. And the singing this morning was a blessing. Lord, as I think of singing, I think of heaven. As Merv and I shared before, in heaven we can sing. We're not always going to be talking, but in heaven we can sing forever. So I was encouraged with the singing. Made me think of that victory song. Almost 10 years ago, the first time I heard that song, it was in my girlfriend's shed. And I told her that night that this man, all he wants to know is he wants to know all my business, and he don't need to know it. Thank God that Jesus Christ was interested in my business. And so it brought a lot of memories back. Thank God for that man that come through and kind of rocked our world a little bit, or rattled our cage. We thought we were right, but we were far off. We were Gentiles. We were separated from God. So, at this time, I think I asked Merv if he'd start a song. Maybe everybody could join in and sing a song number 844. And we can sing this together. Let's bow our hearts and minds for prayer. Yes, eternal Father in heaven, we come to you the hour of this day. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, Lord, for allowing us again to rise off of our pillows with breath and life in our lungs, much more with eternal life beating within our lives. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, which we heard so much of this morning, the perfect Lamb of God that bled and died for the sins of the whole world. Realize this morning is not just for this little group, but for the sins of the whole world. But we are here this morning begging you and asking you to come, Lord, and meet with us and feed your people, Lord. Use this vessel for your honor and glory. Lord, take away any traces of evil, any pride, any selfish motivation, Lord, and come down from heaven, Lord, and encourage the people of God today, Father, by your word and by your spirit. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. For a few opening verses in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. It says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And I know them are lightly used verses, but I was meditating on those verses. They're big verses. Who wants to overcome the world? In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ." And so this morning, my heart is, I would like to go through some of the men in the Old Testament and then a few men in the New Testament that had victory and point out a picture of victory, and I wrote it on there, and we'll get to that later. A picture of victory, if you want a title for it. Some men in the Old Testament and draw some points from them. So also was richly blessed the foundation that the brothers laid this morning. When we deny ourselves, it is to say, "I am thine, O Lord. Take me." And we can be sure when he takes us, he will take us down so he can work in us. I praise the Lord because out of death comes life. I thank the Lord for death this morning because I was dead in my sins and trespasses. And Jesus Christ come down into my bedroom at 1 o'clock in the morning one time and saved a wretched man as I was. I was undeserving. I wasn't one bit close to my Father in heaven. I was separated from my God, and he saved me. And I am thankful for that this morning. It's humbling to me. It's not proud, because there's a death that the Lord wants to do in all of our lives, not only then, but up until this day. And so I'd like to point some of those things out. This is a message for my own life, very personal message. I felt like it was very personal for me this week as I was meditating and studying. Victory is a big word. Do we want to live in victory or don't we? What do we want? So praise the Lord for the foundation that was laid this morning of the man Christ Jesus. First scripture I'd like to turn to is a man in the Old Testament. It was in Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17, verses 8 to 16. This is when Moses told Joshua. We'll read that from 8 to 16. "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went on the top of the mountain. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a piece of stone and put it under him and sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. Aaron and Hur, one on each side of Moses, held up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissa. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will give, for the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation unto generation. With that scripture read, I would like to just bring about three definitions of victory. The defeat, the number one I have two others. The defeat of an enemy in battle, a gaining of superiority in war or combat. Victory, however, depends not always on superiority, superior skill, or valor. So sometimes we can have a lot of git and we can be pretty strong, but it doesn't always depend on that. In the physical realms, in the Old Testament, a lot of that did. They give a lot of direction, and men fought with the edge of the sword. But the Lord was in the battle. The Lord was in the middle. They fought. They followed close to the instructions, as you'll see as we read through here. The second one is often gained by the fault or mistake of the vanquished. And I was thinking about that. It is often gained by the fault or mistake of the vanquished. And then the third one I have wrote, the advantage or superiority gained over spiritual enemies, over passions and appetites, or over temptations. And then I had a thought as I was meditating. In order for there to be a victory, there needs to be a competition. There needs to be a competition. I'm sure that if I'd asked this morning for a raise of hands, who wants to live in victory? And we'd all raise our hands. But it seems to be heartbreaking when I look at my own life, first of all, but when we look at the Christian church in large, not just this little group of 40 brothers and families, but the devil wants to destroy the church of Jesus Christ and defeat him, bring him under. And it was something that broke my heart this week as I meditated on that. So at the end of this, I would endeavor to encourage us to gain a victory. And that was all the meanings I had. And then what we just read was Exodus 17, verses 8 to 16. We see how they came and fought against Israel, and how Moses said to Joshua, choose you out men. See, there was instruction. We see there again, Moses said unto Joshua, choose you out men. So they went through the camp of Israel and they chose men. They said, I don't believe that those men were half-hearted men. They were men that were willing to sell their lives for the expense to get killed at the front lines of the battle. Are we ready to be killed at the front lines of the battle? It's we. I'm not going to say you. Are we? This is a body. I like for this to be personal. So they chose these men to go out and fight with Amalek. And then we see Moses stood on the top of the mountain with the rod of God in his hand. And as we think about the rod of God, we think of that very rod that turned into a snake one day and led them very same Israelites out of the land of Egypt. It is the Christ Jesus. And as I think about that, I sometimes have a side note, and it becomes heavy. It becomes burdensome sometimes, but yet I want to be with joy. When that first rod of God, that man Christ Jesus, leads us out of the land of Egypt in our sins and from our bondage, it is that same strength, it is that same power that continually leads us through life. And we cannot, we dare not change the pattern. We don't enter in and then change the pattern. And I say that from my own life's experiences. I experienced victory by that right there. And it's just something I want to leave for thought. Let's cleave unto the Lord. And as I read that, you read a little bit about the Amaleks. There's a lot of things could be said about them. They did not have the fear of God before their eyes. And the Amaleks were an ancient wandering tribe, and they descended from Esau's grandson Amalek. And you look into that, pretty amazing. and we see how Jacob won the victory. And if we keep that in mind as we go through here, when you think back on Esau and Jacob, and when Esau was coming to kill Jacob, you remember how Jacob won the victory. As we heard this morning, he went down, and the victory was won. Jacob, in the seed of Jacob, still reigns today. We desire to be the seed. We desire to be that people. People that give up. People that repent. People that lay down their lives. And not like Esau. Not the Amalekites. And we see that in that last verse it says, verse 16, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And we see that it's the same war. It's the same war. Thousands of years later, there's a war in Jacob and Esau. There's a war in the Christian church, the Christian home, the Christian man against the Amalekites, against the men that don't fear God, against the men that have no fear of God before their eyes. And they walk aimlessly, desiring to destroy the man of God. And it's painful to the heart of God when an Amalek warrior overtakes a Christian and defeats him. It's painful. He's sitting pleading with the man of God to again come unto him. So that was the story of Moses and Joshua. The next one is in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17 to 19. We'll read Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17 to 19, a few verses there. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindermost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. And we read that. This is still a side note. This is still in the area of the Amaleks. It says, and the note I got there was, see, they attack the hindermost of thee. The Amaleks were looking for the weak. You know, there's times in life, I think Brother Sally shared this morning, when you get up in the morning and you don't know if you can go. You don't know if you can take another dart. But the Amaleks are looking for the weak. And they'll come, and they like to destroy it. They like to destroy any kind of fire that's there. They like to tell you, you're no good. You're useless in the kingdom of God. Everybody ever anything ever whispered that in your life? I've had that happen to me. But again, I just go out under the heavens of God and look up to my God and the stars and the beautiful heaven. And I say, I'm thine, O Lord. And when you're his, the enemy is gone. He flees away. Flees away like some of those Bible stories that I read to my little children, where the enemy runs out of the heart of a little child that says, I want to listen to daddy, and has Jesus come in. So when we're faint and when we're weary and when we think we're the weakest around, it is truly when the Lord can come into our life and defeat the enemy. In Romans 3, it talks about the Amaleks. It says, Romans 3, verse 18, it says, the unrighteous have no fear of God before their eyes. The Amaleks had no fear of God. So we see Moses when he was standing there. I believe when the Amaleks looked up on the mountain where Moses and Aaron and Hur were on either side, and they looked upon them in such foolishness. They saw Moses sitting there holding up his arms to the God of heaven. And you know, it didn't look like victory. But the Bible says when Moses' arms went down, the people of God were defeated. And so I was stirred by those things. When we look at Moses and we look at Christ and we pick our arms up to Christ, we are not defeated, though the world may call us foolish. And it is foolishness to the world. When we live in victory, it is foolishness. Next portion is in Joshua. It's the Battle of Jericho. There's many stories of that. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 and 15. And then in chapter 6, I'm not going to read the entirety in chapter 6. I'll just skip around a few verses. But in 13, 14, and 15, I like to read it because it was the foundation of Joshua's strength. We see where Joshua was the man. Joshua and the man drawn with a sword. Verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the hosts of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off of thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And what was amazing to me there is that when we enter into the holiness of God, whether our quiet times, whether our worship service, help us to be holy. Help us to steadfastly gaze upon the Lord, because there's where our victory comes from. Our victory doesn't come in our own human strength. By the way, we make a mess out of things sometimes in our human strength. Joshua met the Lord. Very key to victory. We can put a lot of dues in place, but unless we meet the Lord, there will be no victory over sin. And I don't say that I'm against doing. It's beautiful. A man of God will do everything he's got. He'll sell his life out for Jesus. But except we meet the Lord, it's in vain. It's in vain. Chapter 5, we read from 13 to 15. And then we read in chapter 6, and I won't read its entirety. We'll see the fall of Jericho. And we... I might just go through there and point out a few points for the sake of time. In verse 1 it says, Now Jericho was straitly shut up because the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. We see again their mighty men of strength. And the Lord has given them unto Joshua. And we see how they did those things, and they went 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to 7 times around that city. And that 7th day, they followed instructions. That 7th day, they did it 7 times, and they blew the trumpets. And the Bible says that the walls of Jericho came down, and they conquered the city of way more mighty men than there were in Israel. But the men of God were victorious, as you go not just too far down the line, when Joshua did give him an instruction, he gave him direction. He said, do not take of the accursed thing in Jericho. And we see Ahab did it. And then we see the fall and the defeat of the children of Israel again defeating, being defeated by the enemy. A side note on that, like to stay focused on the picture of Christ, but just a side note, the accursed thing. We will not have the victory. We will not have the victory if we take the accursed thing. If we launch our lives upon a thing that is cursed by the Bible, by the Word of God, we should not expect to have victory. We will be defeated. Don't be deceived, myself included. We don't want to be deceived. We only got one time to live. We only got this life, and then it's over. And if we're going to deceive ourselves, we'll be deceived forever into eternity. So it's encouraging for me to think about those things. And if it feels hard, I don't want it to feel hard. I want you to feel like it's a cry for your help and my help, that we would not be deceived by the accursed thing. It is very clear, as I think of that, it is very clear when that man and that man put that accursed thing, you think of Achan, he put the accursed thing under the tent floor. And he went in there, and you can about imagine. Sometimes I do a lot of picture minding in my mind, thinking. He quick run home, and he shoved it under the tent floor. And the children of Israel started being defeated. They started losing the battles. And so the men of God said, what's going on? And the Lord said, stop praying and clean the sin away. And I say, well, let's not stop praying. But Joshua rose up, maybe from a prayer meeting, maybe from a meeting somewhere, And he said, let's go through the camp of Israel and let's see where the sin is. And so many times, you know, and I know this is easy to say, who's got sin? I don't know who all's got sin, but you know, it's like a rug. You know, you got something underneath the rug, okay? And so many times what happens is we feel like we're stomping it, and all we do is make a mess out of it. But what we want to do, I want to do as a man of God, as a Christian that loves all of you as brothers, we want to pick it up and we say, come on, you can give it out. It's not going to hurt nothing. By the way, then when you do that, you can be free. You see, you get that accursed thing underneath the rug and you just destroy yourself. And it just behooves my heart. I don't want to do it with my life. And I don't want my brothers and sisters, I don't want young people to think that we can put our hands around something that's not allowed by the Word of God and then die in defeat, destruction, and eternal damnation. So that was a side note on that. It seemed like it spoke to my own life. It's not necessary to be kicking around the tent floor. It's not necessary to be always being condemned. Just be free. Just tell the Lord, here's my floor, and you'll be okay. It's not that hard. The burden is not that we're trying to just comb everything apart, but the burden is that we would be free. We would have a heart that's free. And as I go on from there, it's very clear for God's people and how the Lord. And then the next point was when they took the walls of Jericho fell down, and Rahab the harlot, we read that story, how she was saved, her and her whole house, because she housed the spies, come in, give them some insight on the enemy's land, give them some housing, and did what was right in the sight of God. And the Lord come in His divine power, and He saved them, Rahab and her whole house. And that's encouraging, because we live in a very, very demoralizing society. Demoralizing. The very thought of God, the very being of creation, and those things are at jeopardy for the generations to come. And it doesn't put fear in my life, but I tell you, there's a God that made us all, and somehow we don't sense that we lose that this morning, that we're teaching our children that there's a God that made you, but yet we are in a world that's going to fight us, that's going to war against us in the church. So after these things happened, all these two battles that I read about in the Old Testament from Moses and Joshua, and the walls of Jericho, and how Moses won that battle, or Joshua, Moses and Joshua together teamed up. There's no doubt the enemies, when they saw the children of Israel coming, they were afraid until they found out that they were defeated, until they found out that they weren't winning the battles, and then they would go after them again and drive back the children of Israel and possess their land. So that's my cry. That's my for the two Old Testament characters that I use, that we would see that when men all around us see the Christians, would see us as men, that they would be afraid, because they are not hiding nothing. They're free. And you can tell me whatever you want. You'll be okay, because I'm not my own. I'm the Lord's. Found this quote, and it says, if God is going to do something wonderful, He starts with a problem. If God is going to do something spectacular, He starts with an impossibility. I think we could probably all raise our hands. Sometimes things look impossible. But at the end, in a year and a half later, you look back and you think, well, that wasn't that bad. The Lord saw us through and taught us a few beautiful lessons. And here we are. It's not impossible. Turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to 19. Starting in some New Testament men. Verse 17 to 19. And we see there's 70. The first part of chapter 10, it talks about the mission of the 70. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said to them, I behold Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then he says in verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. You know, I had to think of joy there, and I had to think of when you see a Christian with a smile on his face, doesn't walk around with a long face, kind of like a meal face, you know, just, oh, everything is terrible. There's something there that if you're not in defeat, we're headed for defeat. Ask the Lord for a smile, even though you don't feel like smiling. And smile, and you'll encourage someone along the way. One point of victory is there that Jesus told them not to rejoice that the devils are subject unto thee, but rather rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so I was thinking on that. I meditated. I thought, wow, you know, it's nice. You know, that's wonderful that the devils are subject to this place today. I don't believe there's a devil in this room. And if he is, he needs to go out in the name of Jesus Christ. But it's the spiritual realm. The devils are subject to Jesus Christ. But we are called to rejoice because our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. There's a lot more victory in that than... See, the Lord Jesus knew if we could walk around and just deal with all the devils, then we'd be pretty proud. We can deal with that devil, and I can go over here and deal with this devil. But we can, together, as brothers, as the church, as individuals, we can deal with the demons and devils in our life and enemies. We can destroy them in the name of Jesus. It takes me to, and the next point I want to do is, that's the point of the 70 men that went out two by two. That made me think of the other day in Purdue, Brother Bob. We went out, and Bob said that morning, he said, let's go two by two. That's how they did it in the New Testament. And let's go talk to people about Jesus Christ, two by two. And so we kind of took that theory, and it just kind of blessed me when I thought of that when I was studying this week. Go out two by two, convincing, encouraging, trying to persuade, gainsayers. And next we want to turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. There's a picture of a man that found victory. That man, Peter. Everybody knows Peter. We all know Peter. We hear many stories of Peter. We read about his failures. We hear about him. Peter was a quick talker. We hear all these things. But nevertheless, Peter hung with it. Peter stayed with it. And he went all the way into the book of Acts when the church of God was born. And he started preaching in the second chapter there. He preached more than that. But in the second chapter, verse 36, he says, verse 36 to 44, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked to the heart. They were pricked to their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sin. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord your God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of the bread and prayers. I thought that was a clear example of a victorious man after running from Jesus. We see that when Jesus was, we'll read it just a little later on here. How Peter is very different when he was at the judgment hall with Jesus Christ, and Jesus was walking. Jesus was being tried for the man he was, for the place he was going to take, for the price he was going to pay. And these disciples, the Bible says they left him. They left him alone. And I don't think they wanted to. His disciples desired to walk with Christ, but the flesh, the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. And then again, when we see this here picture of Peter, it makes me think of a different man. I'm sure he had the same flesh, but he had some different desires. He had some different things in his nature. But the church, I had to think of this. In the Old Testament, there's a beautiful picture of physical battles. And the next part that I want to get into is a very spiritual battle. And that's why I believe it seemed like it was a battle for me this week. It was spiritual battles. Physical battles are good, but spiritual battles are wicked and nobody can see them except yourself, and then they eventually come out with time. So them physical battles in the children of Israel were real and they were beautiful, but the church, which was born from the battered body of Christ, this church, the many churches that are gathered this morning, if you're a born-again child of God, you are only that because of Jesus Christ and because of what He did, and you surrendered your will to Him. They were pricked, if you think they were pricked at the heart, where the victory starts, that is where the victory starts, and then it flows out. We see for the Christian battle is in the mind. Many battles are won and not always seen. I could ask you again, who wants to live in victory? And everyone would. And everyone is striving to. I believe there's many of my brothers, my young brothers, older brothers, are living in victory. But when we look into the Lamb of God, I see my need of more victory, more life, more patience. Don't get angry here. Don't do this here. I see my need, and I weep sometimes before my God. Do we want more victory, or do we just want to justify our lives and live under a justification that we can just make it somehow? I want more victory. And that's my heart today, that I don't want to be emotional, but I want to encourage you that we need victory. We don't need a profession, and we need it. We need theology, yes we do, but we need inner victory from our heart that gives us one step after another to live free in this wicked world. Bear with me, it's a burden that just beats upon my heart. Victory is what we need. We can have 10 ducks in a row, and we can have everything out of line, and the Lord's looking down from heaven, and we'll read some of those scriptures. Those that were nigh and those that were far off, He made nigh by the blood of Christ. And it behooves me. It excites me. It doesn't make me proud. But that's how we're made nigh this morning. Who wants to live in victory? Ephesians chapter 6. If I want to turn to enter into this realm of spiritual fight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20. Start reading in verse 10 and reading through 20, and then we'll go from there. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And that was the cry in Ephesians chapter 6. We see here that this is a different fight. I don't win victory by coming over and proving you that I am right and you are wrong. I win victory in the inside. And I praise the Lord when we win victory on the inside. It just comes flowing out and there's nothing can stop it. You might have a few tears, but you can keep right on going. And so I think of that. I think it is different than the Old Testament, yet it's much the same. Those men, they knew God. Joshua met with God. He met with the captain of the Lord's host, Jesus Christ, some believe. I don't know. I won't stand on it. But you read that little portion and study into that. Some believe that he met the man Christ Jesus. And he went down and he fell on his face and he found himself. and yet he won many victories. We see in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness in this world. And I think, when I think of this, it means finally, from now on till the end, there is an all-out war. It's something I thought about. I thought, well, you know, it sounds like there's no peace. And Hebrews says there is therefore a rest for the people of God. But I believe that in this war there's peace. In this war there's victory. But it is a war. Otherwise there's no peace. It's a war. It's all out war. It's against spiritual darkness. There has always been a battle to destroy the Christian church. And as I read this one verse, in verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perverseness, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And as I meditate on that verse this week, I thought about my brothers, the saints of God. And you know, all the way through the years of history, churches have been birthed, and men have come together and shared their testimonies. And then some along the line, this devil, the principalities of the powers, and the rulers of darkness have destroyed some souls of men. And it behooves me this morning to think that there's a possibility for one of these brothers, one of my brothers in here, to be destroyed by the enemy. It makes me kind of quiver. You ever have a quiver that comes up around your back, because the Lord is interested in all of us. He just don't want me to be this Christian in my corner of the community. He wants us all. So that we would be watching, we would be praying for all of us together, that we would have this victory. Principalities and powers. If we think of principalities, sometimes a while back I was trying to just meditate on the powers of darkness, the rulers of the darkness, the principalities, the prince of the power of the air, the devil. And it makes me tremble when I think of the spiritual power. I haven't experienced much of those things. But there's a spiritual power that presses in that none of us can see. There's a power, and it's not witchcraft, it's not supernatural, but all of us could relate to it. We've all dealt with the powers of the prince of the air, the devil. When I shared earlier, he tells us, you're not going to make it. You might as well forget it. You're destroyed already. All those things are words from the devil, words from the prince of the power of the air. You're a creation of God against the rulers of darkness of this world. If you think the rulers of darkness, you just think about that. I don't know if it's really even able to explain. It's simple, the rulers of darkness. When you are a partaker with a ruler of darkness, you don't want to do any of your deeds in the light. You don't want to do any of your deeds in the light. You want to make sure that nobody finds out about my deeds. And if they do, we have to make sure somehow we disguise them. And I don't know, and I'm using my own life. I've been involved with these things. And somehow we just want to lie against our God. We just want to lie. And I really don't want to do that. That's my encouragement. That's why I don't want to sound like somebody that's stepping on a problem or stepping on a sin that I don't even know what it is. I don't know everybody in here. I don't know, but I believe we're all struggling. We're all fighting. Some are in different places. We're not all the same place. But that's the last thing that I want to come across this morning, is that I was just hammering at someone. I would like to help you pick up your tent floor. And I would like to help that thing come out and be made manifest in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we could be free. That we could be clear. We don't have to be destroyed by the destroyer, the wicked one, the devil. I pray this morning that would be real, that would come and make an invasion in our life and change us. Change mine first, change us forever. It is the best life to live. I am never deceived. The devil likes to deceive us. When somebody tells me that you are boring, you don't have a good life, I don't understand that. But since I've been a Christian for 10 years, when I first met my wife, we become Christians two years after I met her, and I've never traded for nothing. Never. There's victories, There's been some defeats. But I thank God for His mercy. I thank God for His grace where I can just pick up my tent floor again and say, come, take it, Lord. This is my own undoneness and my wickedness. Take it, and you can be free again. I thank God for that. I wouldn't trade victory for defeat for 1 minute. And my heart is to encourage and inspire you to never settle for defeat. When you feel defeated, don't settle for it. Grab for victory because it's there. It's in Christ Jesus, the man we heard so much about earlier this morning. It is the best life to live. In the death and resurrection of Jesus, we see how He was 100% victorious. That's why we look unto Him. From whence cometh our help? From whence cometh our help? This is the last man that I have, the man, Christ Jesus. And this is the one I'd like to start it with. But the man, Christ Jesus, was 100% victorious. 100. And when I think of Him, Brother Denny shared one time, he said, it's Christ-centered theology. It's Christ-centered theology. The man, Christ Jesus. When you were born again 10 years ago, and you're walking, and you get down on your knees, and you say, Lord, what's my need? And you will once again say, Lord, help me. I need more of You. You don't come to a plateau where we've got it. And it breaks me, because every time I think of Jesus, I see my need. And my prayer is that we would see our need, not that we are better than each one. We're all different. We're all in different places. Some of us have been converted for 10 years. And some brothers are in here that's been converted for 20. But the Lord is wanting to work a work of sanctification and victory from one to another, from glory to glory. So it is not that we ever get done. Like I shared earlier, it is an all-out war to the end. Praise the Lord that it's a war. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22 to 29. Hebrews chapter 7 is starting with Christ Jesus. And we'll see as we read about Christ and how He became 100% victorious, He was always down. He was always the lowest. He was not the highest. He didn't need the highest standard. And that speaks to my heart this morning. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22 to 28. Verse 22, it says, By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And there truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because He continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth and make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for His own sins, and then for the people's. For this He did once when He offered up Himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. That's in line with the Old Testament theology. When the high priests were made, they were chosen, ordained, they were men of infirmity. And what I was getting to is verse 25. Jesus Christ, verse 24, but this man, because He continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. An unchangeable. And those things we hear, I know we hear it all the time, but all those different pictures of victory through the Old Testament, they were up and down, and men rose up and men died. But this man, Christ Jesus, is unchangeable this morning. It's unchangeable. Christ Jesus our Lord. He arose again. Jesus Christ lived, and then He rose again from the dead and won the victory over death and hell. John chapter 16, verse 25, 33. John chapter 16. These things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I shall and I And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest not a proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh ye, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus Christ, he told his disciples that they will be scattered everywhere to his own. He told them that this was before his crucifixion, and truly happened that night. If you read through that account of Jesus' crucifixion, they were scattered everywhere. And Jesus went to the painful end by himself. But he said, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. So we see that Jesus didn't win the victory with a crowd of bystanders cheering him on. Jesus didn't win victory in his own life with a group of brothers that we could gather at a prayer meeting. And you know, that's the benefits that the church of God has, that we can help each other. That we can help each other, say, brother, we can get it. We can get victory. Let's pray. Let's ask Jesus to come, because he did it. We can do it if we give up and we repent. See, Jesus went to the end by himself. And if you ever go to the end of something in your life by yourself, there is only one man to turn to, and that's Jesus Christ. If you are at a crossroad of life, and there's something just haunting you time and time again, I'm going to try to name some of these, just a few points, and if it hits someone directly, that's not intention, but I think about my brothers, and I think about my friends, and I think about little children, young men. I try to be objective. I don't want to be personal. God would be very displeased with me as a Christian, as a servant of him, if I would be personal, if I would just point you out and say you. But if it hits us, it's okay. That's the way I find it when I come Sundays. It's okay if I was deeply touched by some of these things that I thought of in my own life. It says, but the blessings we have a brother or a sister by our side. And I think we miss those blessings sometimes. We have a brother or a sister. We have a wife. And sometimes a brother or sister will come alongside and say, hey, do you want to talk? You got something to share? And we just kind of get out of my way. And we want to help each other. But that's the blessings that we're missing if we're turning away. Jesus has us here for a reason. He put us here together to serve one another, to bless one another, and help each other unto victory. It says in the New Living, I looked up in John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, it says in the New Living, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And again, I say, I know that's a simple statement, because you meet everybody that believes. But try to hear this thing just a little bit from my heart. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then when Jesus says something, it's okay. You can do it. It's not hard. It's not burden. Just do it. If he says help the poor, it's okay. Do it. It won't hurt you. It'll be a blessing for you. So if somebody says they love Jesus, and the Bible says in the same area, in that same chapter, says if they do not obey me, they're not mine. If they don't obey my commandments, they are not mine. So I am not throwing that out, but I that's not in some of the areas that I'm touching. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 11 is another portion of scripture that I want to go to. Christ, humiliation and exaltation. Christ was he went humble, and then he was lifted up. If there be in chapter 1, or in chapter 2, verse 1 to 11, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill you my joy, that ye may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem another better than himself. Look not every man to his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself and to no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of the things in heaven and the things in earth and things under heaven, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ, to the glory of God the Father. This morning, we're all in different areas. As I think of this, we're all looking for victory. You know what? I'm sure we are. We're all looking for victory. Maybe there's just a few points here, and again, I shared earlier, don't take this as a hammer. But I'm trying to think about it. I really desire the church of God in this community to be victorious. I really desire it, and I want to be part of it. Victorious. There may be some here that have never experienced victory. You're still living in rotten sin. And you still just go to bed every night with fog. You go to bed every night with just pain. There's victory for those things. There's a deliverance from those things. And there may be some here that just don't care. And I don't know how you can do it. I don't know how you can sit there and you just don't care about the person of Jesus Christ. How you can just brush it off and I'll go home and live my life. And I don't know if there's anybody. It's general because we're all different. But if you sit here and you just don't care, I beg you to hear Jesus Christ, because he's the man that can deliver you. He's the only way that you'll ever find any help in life. Maybe you think you're not just too bad. You're just pretty good. You're not as bad as others. Maybe you're pretty good and you feel like, I really don't have no need. We have just first entered into the need at those points. I'm feeling my need this morning in my own life. I say this humbly from my heart. It could be some. It could be some mothers here. I know there is. Not could be. There probably are some mothers here that don't know. I don't know if they can. They just don't know if they can take another day. There's pressures, you know. There's this. Everything comes to the mother. You know, and when you, as a mother, when you can go and you can just get away somewhere and you can cry, it's okay. You can just cry out to the Lord and you can say, I don't know if I can take it another day. And the Lord Jesus Christ will be there. He's our friend for real. We're not always the friendliest to each other, but the man Christ Jesus will give us the victory. So I want to encourage you, mothers, take heart, take another step forward. And give up. Be a mother. Because your children need you. There may be some fathers here that are crying out for maybe some of their children. Maybe some of their children are just wanting to take their own way. And you know, I don't know. I have little children. And I have a different phase than maybe some older ones. But maybe you're just crying out, Lord, would you come? Would you save this child? Would you help him understand what I'm trying to tell him? Maybe they're not seeing it. You're saying, please, son, please. I want the best for you. I don't want to make a merchandise out of you. I want the best for you in eternity. And that son is still, or that daughter is still just right there. But I beg you, if you turn away from these things, the day of opportunity is slipping. The day of opportunity is slipping. So Father, keep up. You pray. You fast. And the Lord will come through. His word is true. Remember some of the things I named off? There was a few others that I think I'll let for time. Again, my heart was not to be emotional. But I do want a stirring. I want a revival from the heart of men. You know, we want revival from outside of our communities. We do. I want more of my friends. I want more of my cousins to know and experience the eternal peace of Jesus Christ, to being free and to being clear. But it's going to start with us. We're going to have to be free. We're going to have to be in victory. We're going to have to walk free. We're going to have a smile on our face and be free from the blight of sin and wrong. Ephesians chapter 2, the last portion of scripture I had to finish. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 22. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers for the covenant, from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off were made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Verse 18, a few things that I had a thought on verse 18 before I close. For through him we both have access into one Spirit unto the Father. There, now in 19 it says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And that verse 18 it says, we have access by one Spirit. And I know there's different churches, there's different standards, there's different regulations, there's many different things. But I plead this morning, we have access unto the Father by one Spirit, and that is the Spirit of Christ. Help us to test Him, help us to be free. And so this morning, victory is not once and forever done, but it is ongoing until the end of our lives. I'm excited to live in victory. I've had some defeats. You pray for us and our family, my wife and I. We battle daily. We battle weekly. There's things come our way, but it's not a greater place to be than to be humble before my God and to serve one another in love in our home. It's my heart to serve you this day and all the days of my life in the body of Christ. And pray that all of you were encouraged to take a step toward victory in a deeper way. And I don't have anything else. If anything was said that you don't quite understand, I am not. I want to be a servant of the Most High God. I want to be humble before Him, and I want to be easily entreated. So may the Lord bless each of you and keep you in the remainder days of our life.